Welcome back to the Teach for the Heart podcast, where we tackle teaching challenges from a biblical perspective. Why are we here? Because we don't believe that our spiritual walk and teaching profession should exist in two separate domains. Rather, the hope we have in Christ should change how we approach everything, not just at home, but at school as well. So join us as we explore both the spiritual and practical sides of key teaching challenges, integrating them together so we can succeed at teaching, glorify God, and make a lasting difference in our students' hearts and lives. This episode is brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation. I'm so excited to be back with you today and to really bring you a new version of the podcast. For the last year and a half, we've been doing series, and that has been so much fun. But starting today, we're going to be going back to mostly single episodes, and we have so many exciting things planned, including some guest experts that we're going to bring in. And today's episode starts out with a guest interview with Val O'Brien. So I can't wait to dive into it with you. Let's get started. So I'm here today with Val O'Brien, and I'm so excited to have her on today to talk about how we can connect with the next generation and reaching students kind of across this generation gap. So Val, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I'm so happy to be a part of it and to be a part of what you're doing here. It's really great.
Before we get going, Val, can you just real quick introduce yourself to the teachers that are listening and tell a little bit about your work that you're doing?
Yeah, I would love to. I'd love to. So my name is Val O'Brien. I've been doing ministry primarily to middle school and high school students for about the last 15 years. My experience is primarily, it's a little bit different probably than a lot of your audience. I worked primarily in a church audience. So working with middle school and high school students as a part of church ministry, and really just found a niche there that I loved. Just am passionate about the next generation coming to know and love Jesus. And then for the last 3 years, I have been working with an organization that primarily does training for youth workers. So helping coach them, helping train them to build disciple-making ministries and really impact the next generation. And I actually just this month have launched a new organization called Aspen Ministry, that is even more dialed into how do we as the church engage the hearts of the next generation to come to know and love Jesus. So that is fresh just this month, and just am excited about what the Lord is doing there.
Oh, that's so exciting. And for those of you that are listening, I think it's pretty obvious why we're having Val on. It's because she has a lot of experience with working with youth. So even though it's a little bit different, I'm so excited to hear the insights that you have on kind of, you know, what the generation gap that we're currently facing and how we as teachers can really connect with our students. Mm-hmm. So you have been noticing a generation gap and that it feels kind of different. It's kind of more distinct or more troubling. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been kind of looking into this, asking questions, kind of trying to figure it out, researching. So can you share with us kind of what you've discovered through this process?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have been sitting like across the table, across coffee shops and small groups, and interacting with students pretty regularly since about 2009. And what I realized about 10 years into ministry, I had a little bit of this crisis because I felt like as a whole, we were not engaging students' hearts like we used to. Like they weren't responding to the same types of things. Seem to be a little more distant in some areas, not know how to engage, asking questions that I just thought were off the wall, just those types of things, behaving in certain ways that I'm like, what in the world is going on here? And I really have this, you know, kind of crisis, because at first I was just like, I think this is just what it means to be getting old. You know, maybe I'm just losing my touch here. You know, now I'm in my 30s. Maybe this is just what aging is, and I just feel disconnected from these younger people. And you know, let that sit with me for a while. Kept working on it, kept talking to different students, and just realized that no, that might be part of it, but there seems to be like something bigger that's going on with this next generation. I ended up leaving church ministry at that time to start doing coaching and training of youth workers. But really, one of my primary goals was to say, okay, how do we come together what are other people seeing? What are other churches seeing? How do we really lean into the methods of Jesus, how he engaged the hearts of people? And how do we reach the next generation? So one of the things, though, that I found was that it was not just me, but the more people that I talked to, there seemed to be this huge shift, and people were saying, yes, Val, I see this too. I feel this too. I've been doing ministry for a blank number of years, and just in the last couple of years, something feels different with these kids. And yet we want to reach them. What is this? What's going on? So I started doing research and reading and seeing, okay, is there anything out there? And just came across something very comforting, which is, yes, it does seem like there is something going on. It's not just Val getting old. It's not just losing my skills completely. But there is something going on that's just different with this next generation. And so the more that I've talked to different youth workers then about it, and the more that I've been able to engage students and adults ministering to them, it's just been really neat to see these things resonate with them. But basically, what a lot of this research has come out to show is that there are so many differences between particularly the millennial generation and Gen Z, that it's actually more of a true cultural gap than it is a generational gap. Mm-hmm. That the way that they think and the way that they process the world around them, a lot of times generations, the way that they mark generations, there's certain characteristics, you know, like the Gen Xers and the millennials, they share a lot of similar characteristics. And then there are some characteristics that make them uniquely different from each other. Life experiences, things going on in the culture and society that allow them, you know, to think and to engage the world a little bit differently, and they become a new generation. Well, they're saying that the gap is so profound between the millennial generation and Gen Z that it actually has more characteristics of a true cultural gap than a generational gap in America. And I'm like, yes, this, now we're talking. Now we're on to something, because that's what it feels like on the ground. It feels like there's this wider gap between us. And you know, I've just appreciated the humility of so many authors and researchers to say, you know, we can no longer say, oh, when I was a kid, you know, kids are the same as they've always been. When I was a kid, I experienced this and this and this. And there are some things that are true, like the needs that we have as people are always going to be the same. The need that we have for our Savior is always going to be the same. But what it's packaged in now, the world is so different than it was even when I was a kid and I was a teenager, that we really have to shift how we're thinking about these students, and think about it in a different way. And I think it's been really interesting. I heard one researcher say, and I think it's so great, that there's an earthquake going on. And really, the fault line is right there between the millennials and Gen Z. And really, and this is like no shock to anybody, but the internet is primarily what's caused that huge, catastrophic change. It really has shaken the foundation of how young people just process reality around us. And so then we say, okay, how then do we engage another generation? Like we would engage another culture, so that we can bring them the message of Jesus and reframe how we think about doing that as the church, as educators, as parents, and just as people. You know, I've got lots of nephews. You know, how do I engage the next generation just in a different way, with a different mindset than I had before?
That's really, really helpful to hear. And I don't know if it's you that are listening, you might share some of these same thoughts when you hear that. There's almost like two sides of my mind. The one that goes, I don't want to hear that at all. I don't want that to be the reality. It's like, I don't want to, you know, I really, you might even find yourself feeling a little bit like grief, or like, man, why is it such this big thing? But then at the same time, I think very much validating of like, yes, okay.
Yes.
What, and teachers, I know you guys have been sharing all the time, you know, this feels different. What's going on? It's not the same. And so it's helpful to just recognize this is the reality. And these are some of the reasons why this is happening. And so I can't just, business as usual isn't going to work. It's just not going to.
Right.
And so once we recognize that, okay, we're ready to kind of explore what that looks like. So I'm excited. Why don't you go ahead and share with us then what are some of the strategies and mindsets that you are finding do help us as we're caring with students who, you know, I guess are culturally farther away from us than maybe we even want to realize.
That is such a, it's such a good question. It's such a, like an important, just practical question. And I found even for myself, just inside of me, you know, I've been able to travel some and experience some different cultures. And I know what that feels like, you know, and I've been trained a little bit in how to do that, how to go into a new place and to, you know, to observe, to listen, to not get defensive. Like I extend a lot of grace when I'm in a different culture. I come in knowing that I'm probably not going to understand everything. Be patient, observe, you know, there's all these things that happen inside of me. And yet I feel like sometimes I still to this day walk into a room with teenagers and I'm just, you know, we'll say, what is wrong with these people? You know, or you just get so frustrated or defensive right away or, you know, just confused or whatever it is, you know? So I'm like, what is it, Lord, that's inside of me that when I am with a different, you when I know I'm walking into a different culture, my attitude is one way. How can I extend that same grace when I walk into a room with high school students? You know, and I am still learning what that looks like for me and what that feels like inside of me and how I need to approach that. I am, and it's still an active thing for me. You know, I still volunteer in the youth ministry at my church. And I had a rough night last night. You know, I had a rough small group. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, my goodness, I have to practice these things that I talk about in real time. Some nights go great and some nights are just hard. And I feel that distance. I feel that generational, that cultural gap in such significant ways. But I think that's so much of it. I love that we talk about, you know, what are the mindsets that need to change? Because we can talk about strategies and we can talk about, you know, different learning techniques and styles and stuff like that. And that's really, really important. But I think Jesus is always after our heart. And if we want to see heart change in the students that we're ministering to, if we really want to engage their hearts, not just their minds, not just their you know, academic pursuits, if we want to engage their hearts, then I think it just starts with us looking at our own hearts first. I know it does for me. And saying, okay, Lord, where does my heart need to be before I start trying to engage their hearts?
This episode is brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation. And one of the things the Herzog Foundation is seeking to do is to help create new Christian schools and homeschool co-ops. So if you have ever considered starting your own school or even just wish that that was a possibility, I encourage you to check out the resources available for free with Schoolbox. With Schoolbox, you can get free access to resources, courses, and if you're serious, even a mentor. So find out more and sign up at hfschoolbox.com. That's hfschoolbox.com. Now back to the conversation.
And so some of those things for me, as far as engaging my heart in the right way, the mindset shift, the most important thing for me is to just pump the brakes. It's right away when I walk into a situation, even last night, and I feel myself starting to get frustrated or unsure of what is going on or feeling, you know, confused or like things aren't going the way that I want them to go. Is to pump the brakes and to just temporarily suspend judgment. What James 1:19-20 tells us, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when something happens and I feel offended by a kid for whatever reason, what needs to happen in my heart is I need to remember this and be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. pump the brakes, just temporarily suspend judgment. And by that, I don't mean that we don't have conviction. Like, we need to have very strong convictions. It's not just like anything goes now, you know, but to let myself really listen before I start speaking, before I start responding, and figure out why I'm being so defensive. You know, my first response is to be defensive when something's not going, when a conversation or an interaction isn't going the way I want. But that doesn't produce the righteousness of God, to be quick to speak and spark back. So to pump the brakes. And a lot of times people have reasons for the way that they think and why they do things the way they do. And that's what we really want to get after with students. That's why we need to be quick to listen when we're with them, and to ask good questions and really respond to the answers. Because whether they know it or not, they have a reason for why they're behaving the way that they do, why they're speaking the way that we do, why they are. And we want to get to that because we want to get to the heart. So the first thing, pump the brakes, just suspend judgment and listen. So that's always the first thing that I say. And then the second one is to humble ourselves, to take the example of Jesus, that pride goes before destruction, that we do not have all the information, we do not have all of the answers, but that we need to take on the nature of a servant. And that's always the way that we see Jesus responding to people. He was humble, he was a servant. And, you know, again, that's what I feel like, that approach, you know, especially when we're engaging people in a different culture, that's easier for some reason to come in knowing that we don't know all the answers. We don't know all the nuance of things. But we need to take that approach even with students, humility, the nature of a servant, just like Jesus. So humble ourselves. And then the last one, and oh my goodness, I think about this. I pray this over myself all the time, that this will be my mindset. Again, just the mindset of Jesus, of looking at students with compassion and not with frustration. Like Jesus, when it says that he looked over the crowds and saw that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I look at these kids and I look at all the messages that are coming at them. I look at all the influence, all the things vying for their money, for their attention, for their likes, for all these people that are trying to tell them who they are. And I'm like, if harassed and helpless was not, I'm like, that's who these kids are. And Jesus's response to the crowds like that was compassion towards them. And that's what I want my heart to always be. Towards students. And it doesn't come naturally. I think that that's a work of the Spirit, and that's just a constant prayer that I pray over myself when I get into those situations. Let me see these students as somebody, as an individual that is valuable and precious to Jesus, someone that is worth pursuing and going after. And let my heart be one of compassion towards them and their generation, instead of frustration. So those are kind of the three things I think about. Pump the brakes, humble myself, be a servant, and then approach with compassion instead of frustration.
That's so good. And I can just imagine like what a difference those things make. Do you have any thoughts about that? Like, what have you seen? Like, how is that affected then, like what you say or how you take things when you are, you know, in that spirit led doing those three things?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think for me, it really just slows the conversation down. You know, I am like I like to have the answer. I like to keep moving. Like, I like to keep the process going. I'm strategic. I want the path of least resistance and I want to keep moving. That's just like, that's just how I'm wired. But I think when I sit with students, sometimes I can fall into that too and say, well, I know what's wrong. I know what your problem is. La, 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 la. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about this? But these things have taught me when I, like you said, when I do them well and when I feel like I'm in the spirit and interacting with them, it slows the conversation down. And lets the spirit be the teacher for the student and not Val just giving them the right answer and telling them where they need to go. I think it gives more room for the spirit. And because it moves the conversation slower and it gives them more of a chance to process. If I'm asking them questions and seeking to understand them, then they're also processing those things. They're also trying to understand what's important to them, how they came to those conclusions. They're hearing themselves speak and process. And I feel like it just gives more room then for the spirit. It slows down the conversation, allows me time to engage with the spirit through prayer and whatever it is, and allows a student to process more themselves as opposed to me just telling them what I think the answer is. And I may or may not even be right. So I've seen that a lot. And I think slowing it down, pumping the brakes, humbling myself. I'm thinking of, you know, one particular student in my student ministry too, who, it allows you when you do that to get to know them actually better as people. It helps break them out of the boxes that we put them in, where we say, hey, I'll set aside my preconceived ideas and I'll engage with you just as a person that Jesus loves. Seek to get to know you, what's going on inside of your heart, and see where the spirit, see what the Lord has for you in this moment and in this conversation.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. I feel like that's just so much, such a helpful starting point to just recognizing there is this difference. And I love that treating it, recognizing that it is bigger than a generational gap. There's a true culture difference. Mm-hmm. And then just seeking the Lord, slowing down, staying humble, seeking to listen, ask questions and all of that. Thank you so much for sharing those insights with us today.
And I was, you know, even as far as things being practical, one of the really sweet things that I found too is to look for the shared values that you do have with them and to build a bridge from there, to look for those values. And I think that that's part of the suspending judgment just for a second. And letting those values come out, because sometimes they do have good values. They even have values of the kingdom of God. They're just different than our values. Just like a silly, but I think common example is even like what different generations wear to church on Sunday. I think is appropriate to wear to church. You know, so again, in broad generalizations, we have an older generation who will dress up more when they come to church. They will come maybe in the men in a collared shirt or the women in a skirt or whatever the case is. And their idea, their value is, you know, what we're doing here at church is important. And so I bring my best self to it. There's a holiness, there's a reverence to what we're doing. And so I reflect that in my dress, this holiness and this reverence. And then you have teenagers who will come in, you know, looking like they rolled out of bed with their ripped jeans on and a t-shirt or something like that. And automatically, I think sometimes adults can look at a teenager and say, they have no respect for what we're doing here because it confronts their value. A student, that this generation, you know, values authenticity so much that in their mind, they think, you know, if this message of the gospel is true, that I come as I am, if, you know, I don't have to be somebody that I'm not, that Jesus sees me, I can be my authentic self at church, then they're like, why would I wear anything different than I wear anywhere else to come to church? Because they value authenticity. Then they can look, you know, at the older generation and be like, these people, they just dress up. It's just a show to them. I'm the authentic one. When really there's kingdom truth in both of those things. There's kingdom truth and there is a holiness and a awe and a reverence that we should bring to worship. Absolutely. But there is also an authenticity that Jesus desires from us. There's that we have to bring who we really are and not put on a show before Jesus. He doesn't want that from us. But it takes, you know, usually more than one conversation to get there, to start to unravel what those different values are. But once we understand them, and once we can really get to the heart of an issue, we can start to build bridges towards each other. and us as adults taking the initiative towards students and say, you know, I love that. Yes, Jesus does see you wherever you are, whatever state you're in, and you can bring that to him. And so I think a lot of it too is learning to identify what those values are and then assess those values too. You know, some of those values may not be kingdom values, you know, so we'll push those to the side. We'll look for the kingdom values to build bridges those ways. And then we can start to chip away at a kingdom worldview. But to look for those things, don't automatically dismiss the behaviors, to look for the values and assess, okay, are those values of the kingdom of God? Or are they not values of the kingdom of God? And to kind of go from there. So that's just more of, it's again, I know it's still philosophical in some ways, but a little bit more practical as far as like, okay, what are we trying to get to? What are we trying to understand when we slow down and have these conversations with students?
That's so helpful to hear. And that makes sense that, you know, as you're listening, taking that deeper level, because if you don't know the why, you don't really know necessarily. I mean, some things are black and white, but a lot of things aren't. Down that deeper level into the why is how you can know, oh, actually, this is a good thing, or actually, it's not. But it takes that other level. Otherwise, you're just crossing paths. And what you're saying isn't connect. Even if you're speaking truth, it's not connecting because it's not.
It's not connecting.
Right. It's bouncing off of, because you're not even understanding where they're coming from.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Val. Before you go, can you tell us a little bit about your ministry, what you hope to see God do in it, and kind of how people can connect with you?
Yeah. I'd love to. So this new ministry that is launching, it's called Aspen Ministry. And the idea, I didn't know a lot about aspens, but I learned that aspens, if you see a forest of aspen trees, they're actually all connected to each other. That it's actually it's considered a single organism, and they can withstand harsh environments, because they take care of each other. They feed each other. And one individual tree is always outlived by the group. So there's this idea of generational growth and helping each other. And so, it's called Aspen Ministry. And our first big project, because we want to see those things happen in the church. We want to see the church thrive in those ways, multi-generationally. But the first big project is actually called 10,000 Questions. One of the researchers, you know, made this comment. Her name's Kara Powell. She works with Fuller Youth Institute. And she's done a ton of interviews with students, with high school students primarily. One of the things that she said is a reoccurring theme of what students will say to her is, I wish the church would answer the questions I'm actually asking. And I'm like, yes, there's this disconnect. And that obviously leads us to say, okay, well then what questions are students asking? And how do we answer them with the message and the hope of Jesus? So the first project of Aspen Ministries is 10,000 questions. And we want to approach students with an attitude of listening to them and hearing out where they're at and what they're thinking. So we are going to gather 10,000 questions of young people from all different places, all different spheres. And then once we've gathered them and assessed them and said, okay, this is what's on the hearts of students. These are their questions, to start answering them in age appropriate and intellectually honest and with answers that are in line with historical Christianity. So say, okay, how then can we engage with young people with what they're actually asking? So that's kind of the heart of that first project. And then using some of that learning and even some of the principles that we talked about today and just going way deeper with them, with churches and with ministries and saying, okay, how do we engage in the heart of the next generation with the message of Jesus? So that's a little bit of the project that I'm working on now.
Oh, that's so exciting. And I would love to follow along, and I'm sure many other teachers will, and see some of these answers and solutions that come out of this. So is there a place, I know it's a very new ministry, is there a place that we can connect or look for?
Yes, absolutely. So the website, you can check out the website. It's aspenministry.org. So you can check that out. That'll be able to receive visitors very shortly here. So that would be great. And also you can email me personally just at valobrien@aspenministry.org.
Awesome. And we'll make sure that's in the link in the show notes that go with this episode. So thank you again so much, Val. I really appreciate your being here.
Thanks, Linda. This is great to talk about. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you'd like to check out the notes or the links that we mentioned or share it with a friend, which we would absolutely love, you can do all of that at teachfortheheart.com/301. That's teachfortheheart.com/301. I also want to invite you to a free training we'll be hosting here very soon, a live training. It's called Classroom Management Answers, Simple Strategies to Reduce Disruptions and Rebuild Respect. This is a brand new training that we've never done before. And so I hope that you will be able to join us. You can get all the details and sign up at teachfortheheart.com/training. Well, this episode has been brought to you in partnership with the Herzog Foundation. Of course, all the views and opinions expressed in this episode are my own or my guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of the Herzog Foundation. Thank you all so much for being here. I look forward to speaking with you again soon. In the meantime, teacher, remember, God is at work in you and through you, and He's using you to make a difference. Keep your eyes on Him and teach for the heart.